book of Isaiah, chapter 1.
Pueden abrir sus Biblias en Isaías, capítulo 1.
And if you're following along in the lesson text, we're in unit number 1, lesson number 1 for December 6th.
Y si están siguiendo en los libros, estamos en una nueva unidad, lección 1 para el 6 de diciembre.
And so if you need one of the booklets, Sister Marie has them. And so, oh, Sister Teresa has them. Right on. Sister Teresa's got it over there. Thank you, Sister Teresa. And so we do have new booklets to follow along with.
Tenemos nuevos libros para seguir.
And so our lesson this morning is entitled Sin, Judgment, and Restoration.
El título de la lección es Pecado, Juicio, y Restauración.
And it's a unit entitled Studies in Isaiah.
Y el título de nuestra unidad es Estudios en el Libro de Isaías.
And so let's go ahead and open in prayer and we will begin.
Vamos a abrir en oración.
Lord, we ask that you would bless, Lord, our new unit of study as we begin to consider, Lord, the various things we can learn from the prophet Isaiah. We ask that you would open our ears and our minds, our understanding, Lord, as to what you were saying not only to the children of Israel and Judah, but what you have to say to us personally today. And so we ask that you'd bless, Lord, our Sunday school lesson and bless our whole service, we ask. And we thank you for all that you will do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Studies in Isaiah.
Estudios del libro de Isaías.
Have you ever heard good news, bad news jokes?
¿Han escuchado buenas nuevas y malas nuevas chistes?
Here's one. One would go something like this. It would go, a doctor called a patient and said,
un doctor le llamó a su paciente y le dijo,
I have good news and bad news.
Tengo buenas nuevas y malas nuevas.
The good news is that you have 24 hours to live.
Las buenas nuevas son que tienes 24 horas para vivir.
Wow, the man replied.
El hombre se sorprendió y dijo, wow.
Then what's the bad news?
Y le preguntó entonces, ¿qué son las malas nuevas?
To which the doctor replied,
y el doctor contestó,
I forgot to call you yesterday.
Se me olvidó llamarte anoche, ayer.
That was a good news, bad news joke.
Era una chiste de buenas nuevas, malas nuevas.
In many ways, these kinds of jokes,
en muchas maneras, estos tipos de chistes,
they remind us that many things that happen in life,
nos recuerdan que muchas cosas que pasan en la vida,
can represent good news or bad news.
Pueden representar buenas nuevas o malas nuevas.
And it depends on your perspective.
Y depende en nuestra perspectiva.
If your perspective is a particular way, it's bad news.
Si nuestra perspectiva es de una manera particular, pueden ser malas nuevas.
Or, depending how you look at it, it could be good news.
O depende en cuánto lo miramos, puede ser buenas nuevas.
And so as we go through this study of Isaiah,
mientras que estudiamos el libro de Isaías,
you'll find that the Lord speaks some very harsh messages to the children of Israel.
Vamos a ver que el Señor habló palabras duras al pueblo de Israel.
And yet through that, there are some of the greatest promises in the Bible found in the book of Isaiah.
Y por medio de eso, nos encontramos con uno de los grandes promesas del Señor.
In many ways, Isaiah delivers the worst of news and the best of news.
En muchas maneras, Isaías les dio malas or duras palabras, tan cuanto también buenas nuevas.
Again, it depends on the perspective.
Y depende en el perspectiva.
And so our lesson, as said before, is Sin, Judgment, and Restoration.
Una vez más, el título es Pecado, Juicio, y Restauración.
And so our central truth this morning,
nuestra verdad central es,
is God will judge the sinner, but forgive and restore the penitent.
Dios juzgará al pecador, pero perdonará y restaurará al penitente.
And this is the truth about who God is.
Y esto es la verdad de quién Dios es.
He's righteous and holy.
Él es santo.
And he will judge the sinner.
y él juzgará al pecador.
However, he forgives and restores those that are repentful.
Y él restaura y perdona al que está arrepentido.
Our key verse is found in the book of Acts, chapter 3, and verse 19.
Nuestro versículo clave se encuentra en Hechos 3, 19.
Does anybody want to read our key verse? Acts 3, 19. These are the words of the apostles.
Estos son palabras del apóstoles.
As they are proclaiming the gospel to the people.
Mientras proclamaban las buenas nuevas a la gente.
But the words were repent then and turn to God.
Y la palabra era de arrepentirse y volver a Dios.
And the reason why.
Y la razón.
Is so that your sins may be wiped out.
Para que nuestros pecados pueden ser perdonados.
Praise the Lord that our sins can be washed away.
Gracias a Dios que nuestros pecados se pueden ser perdonados.
And they're washed as we repent and turn to the Lord with all of our hearts.
Y esto pasa mientras que volvemos a Dios con todo corazón.
And as the latter part says, there will be times of refreshing that will come from the Lord.
Y como dice en Hechos 3:19, vengan de la presencia del Señor. Tiempos de refrigerio.
Now, as we studied a little bit earlier in our study on the story of the Old Testament,
como estudiábamos antes sobre los libros del Antiguo Testamento,
the Israelites, or those in Israel,
los israelitas,
they went through a cycle of disobedience, rebellion, and idolatry.
Pasaron por un ciclo de desobediencia, rebelión, y idolatría.
But then it was followed by times of repentance and promises to serve God.
Y siguió por tiempos breves de arrepentimiento y promesas de servir a Dios.
And this is what was happening in the southern kingdom of Judah.
Y esto pasaba en el reino sur de Judá.
There will be times when they're living in outright rebellion against God.
Vamos a ver tiempos que ellos vivieron en pecado delante de Dios.
Then a godly king would take the throne.
Y un rey que temaba a Dios se levantó y tomó el reino.
And he would be used of the Lord to bring the nation to repentance and to seeking the Lord.
Y el Señor lo usó para traer a la nación al arrepentimiento.
But then, of course, when that minister would pass away,
y cuando ese rey murió,
that king would die. I said minister, but that king would pass away.
El rey murió.
When that would happen, then sometimes an ungodly king would rise.
Y se levantaba un nuevo rey que no temaba a Dios.
And then they would fall back into sin.
Y cayeron otra vez en el pecado.
Sadly, eventually, they would all be taken into captivity.
Tristemente, todo el pueblo cayó en captividad.
The northern kingdom of Israel,
el reino del norte de Israel,
was taken into captivity by the Assyrians.
Fueron tomados como cautivos los asirianos lo tomaron como cautivos.
And then about 200 years later,
y 200 años después,
the kingdom of Judah was captured by Babylon.
Judá fue capturada por Babilonia.
Now, as we go through the study of Isaiah,
mientras que estudiamos el libro de Isaías,
most of Isaiah's prophecies dealt with the southern kingdom of Judah.
La mayoría de las profecías trataron con el reino en el sur de Judá.
And so we're going to watch a quick video.
Vamos a ver un video aquí.
And it deals with restoration.
Que trata con la restauración.
I love finding bargains in the markdown or the scratch and dent section of furniture stores, especially as it relates to items that have been damaged in such a small way that a normal customer would think that it's beyond repair and the usefulness of that item is gone. Many times they have such small defects to them. I've learned just to be that kind of person that looks for those types of bargains and tries to restore those items to their original purpose. To the ordinary customer, they've lost value. But to someone with just a little amount of knowledge in woodworking, the value is there. I've also started finding old pieces of wood from old fallen trees and aged wood and trying to resurrect some of their original beauty and usefulness by creating new pieces with new purposes. It's not a quick or easy process, But the beauty of the project after the restoration, many times, is greater than the original beauty even of the tree itself. The prophet Isaiah describes the people of Israel in this type of broken down state in need of restoration. He says about them, "Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. There's no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores." That is a pretty bleak picture, and one that was brought about because of their disobedience to God's word. They had completely turned their backs on how God had commanded them to live. We don't have to look very far to realize that society today is impacted by the same state of rebellion against God's word. We too are in need of restoration. So many impacts of the broken state of mankind are visible daily in our world. Racism, hatred, destructive addictions, and a lack of honor and respect for the Bible. Those are all indicators of the brokenness of mankind. Even on a personal level, we see the impact of decisions and choices that go against God's plan in His Word. These conscious decisions to ignore God's standards in His Word lead to broken families, unhealthy habits in our lives, financial bondage, and so much more. We're all broken lives that struggle to display the beauty of our purpose that our Creator has given to us. We need the process of restoration. Thankfully, God's heart is not to leave broken people in that state, but He has always desired for lost people to be found, sadness to be turned to joy, and brokenness to be restored. He has not changed in that desire. Thousands of years ago, He spoke these words to the people of Israel, and He said, "I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. I will restore your leaders as in days of old, your rulers as at the beginning. Afterward, you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city." The result of that process sounds great. Process itself can sound painful. See, just as a carpenter restores the beauty of an old tree, our lives many times need to undergo this necessary but painful process. Sometimes the master carpenter, he has to cut away some of the rough edges of attitude or addictions. Other times, he simply has to apply some instruments of sanding to some of our rough spots. Interestingly, many times he uses the influences of a trusted believer to do this for us. Proverbs says that as iron sharpens iron, so one person can improve another. Whether it's through a healthy community of believers, or through personal engagement with God's Word and His Spirit, or more than likely a combination of both, I encourage you, let the beauty of God's purpose for your life be revived as you simply let the skillful hands of the Master restore you today.
Aren't you grateful that our God is a God of restoration?
Están agradecidos que nuestro Dios es un Dios de restauración.
Thank God he doesn't leave us in our mess.
Él no nos deja en nuestro pecado.
No, rather he takes care of us and he wants to create out of us even a greater and more useful vessel.
Él cuida de nosotros y quiere crear un instrumento más mejor para usar para su gloria.
If you own a pet,
si usted tiene un mascota,
or if you know someone who does,
o conoce a alguien que tiene uno,
how does that pet respond to its owner's presence?
¿Cómo responde esa mascota a la presencia de su dueño?
How does a pet respond to its owner?
¿Cómo responden esos animales a su dueño?
They get happy when they see him. And when they're gone, they cry.
Se ponen alegres a ver su dueño y están tristes al mirlos ir.
Isn't that true?
¿Es verdad?
I mean, how many of you own dogs here?
¿Cuántos tienen perritos?
Oh, you walk out and boy, their little tails are wagging and they're just so happy to see you, aren't they?
Se ponen muy alegres a verte y sus colitas muy rápido están enseñando que están alegres.
Even cats can do the same, right?
Aún a veces gatos pueden hacer la misma cosa.
These express joy, and they actually obey when they're taught.
Ellos enseñan que están alegres y pueden enseñar obediencia.
And yet the point is that even pets know who their owner is.
Y el punto es que aún los animales, estos mascotas, saben quiénes son sus dueños.
They know who cares for them.
Ellos saben quién les ama.
However, humans tend to ignore or even rebel against the one who made them.
Al contrario, a veces el ser humano se rebelde en contra del quien le crió.
The one that takes care of them.
El quien nos cuide.
Talking about God.
Estamos hablando de Dios.
He loves and cares for us, doesn't he?
Él nos ama y nos cuida.
You know, sometimes church leaders have the task of delivering difficult messages.
A veces tenemos el tarea de traer mensajes que parecen ser duros.
These messages are from God at times.
Pero estos mensajes vienen a los pastores de Dios.
And yet, because of God's love,
y porque Dios tiene amor para nosotros,
those tough messages,
esos mensajes duros,
are meant to make people feel convicted.
El propósito es para traer convicción.
But it's ultimately to bring the people to a place of hope, repentance, and joy.
Pero últimamente atraer la gente a un lugar de esperanza, paz, y gozo.
Isaiah was called to serve the Lord as a prophet during very difficult times in Israel.
Dios le llamó a Isaías a ser profeta en Israel durante tiempo muy difícil.
Many of the people were worshiping idols.
Mucha de la gente estaban adorando ídolos.
Injustice was rampant.
La injusticia estaba alrededor.
And Isaiah had to stand strong for the Lord.
Y Isaías, el profeta, tenía que pararse para el Señor.
At times rebuking the people for their idolatry and wickedness.
Muchas veces corrigiendo a la gente por su maldad.
And also calling them to repent and to be restored.
Y llamándoles al arrepentimiento para ser restaurados.
And so let's begin our study.
Vamos a empezar con punto uno.
And let's see the sins of a nation.
Los pecados de una nación pecadora.
First, the people are unfaithful.
El pueblo es infiel.
And this is in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, as well as 10 through 15.
Se encuentra en Isaías 1 a 4 y 10 a 15.
I'm going to read this section if you don't mind.
Él lo va a leer en inglés.
And it says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the donkey his master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are estranged and backward." And then verses 10 through 15. "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. For what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and of rams, and the fat of fed animals. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or of male goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear with evil assemblies. My soul hates your new moons and your appointed feasts. They are a burden to me. I am weary at bearing them. When you reach out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. And when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." Here Isaiah is giving the word of the Lord to Judah.
Aquí Isaías estaba trayendo la palabra de Dios a Judá.
And this prophecy is a message to the rebellious nation.
Y esta profecía era para los rebeldes.
The Lord, through Isaiah,
por medio de Isaías, el Señor,
he's comparing Judah to animals.
Estaba comparando a Judá a animales.
Animals who obey and respect their masters.
Animales que sirven y obedecen a sus dueños.
In spite of God's faithfulness,
a través de la fidelidad de Dios,
his people have rebelled against him.
Su pueblo había rebelado en contra de él.
And God sees through all of their show.
Y Dios podía ver claramente que no estaban sinceros.
They're just going through the motions of their religious observances.
Estaban haciendo cosas religiosas.
They were unfaithful and disobedient.
Estaban infiel y desobediente.
And so this word of the Lord,
y esta palabra del Señor,
first begins to recount God's actual love for his people.
Les recuerda del amor de Dios para su pueblo.
He says in verse 2, I have nourished and brought up children.
En versículo 2, el Señor dijo, creí hijos y los engrandecí.
God is speaking to them as their father.
Dios le estaba hablando como su padre.
Who cares for them?
Quien, quería cuidarlos.
And yet they have rebelled against God.
Pero ellos estaban en rebelión en contra de Dios.
And again he likens them to animals.
Y los comparó una vez más a animales.
He says the ox knows his owner.
Dice, el buey conoce su dueño.
Even the donkey knows his master's crib.
Y el asno, el pesebre de su señor.
In other words, these in Judah were worse than animals.
En otras palabras, el pueblo de Judá estaba peor que estos animales.
He says, Israel does not know.
Dice, Israel no entiende.
My people do not consider.
Mi pueblo no tiene conocimiento.
This is extremely sad when we consider the nation of Israel and Judah.
Esto era muy triste en considerar la nación de Israel y Judá.
They of all people on the earth.
Ellos de toda el pueblo, gente en la tierra.
They were the ones that should know God above everyone else.
Ellos debían de conocer a Dios más que nadie más.
They have a great history with God.
Tenían una gran historia con Dios.
And yet they have forsaken him.
Aún le habían abandonado.
Verse 4 says, alas, sinful nation.
Verso 4 dice, ay, gente pecadora.
And he begins to call out their sin and their iniquity.
Y empezó a decir la iniquidad y pecado.
And he says that they have really turned their back on God.
Y les dijo que ellos habían alejado de Dios.
He even gets stronger in verses 5 through 10.
En versículos 5 a 10, las palabras eran mucho más fuertes.
He begins to recount the fact that their whole head is sick.
En decir que aún sus cabezas estaban enfermas.
Their heart is faint.
Y todo corazón doliente.
That from the head even to the toe there is no soundness in them.
Verso 6 dice, desde la planta del pie hasta la cabeza no hay en él cosa sana.
And then he even likens them to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Y los comparó con Sodom y Gomorra.
Sodom and Gomorrah, as we remember in the Old Testament.
En recordar a Sodom y Gomorra en el Antiguo Testamento.
Those two cities were ultimately destroyed by God because of their sinfulness.
Sodoma y Gomorra fueron eliminados, destruidos por razón de su pecado delante de Dios.
This shows how far their hearts were from God.
Y esto enseñaba tan lejos que tenían sus corazones de Dios.
And in verses 11 through 15.
Y en versículos 11 a 15.
It shows that they were going through the motions of their religion.
Nos enseña que estaban haciendo solamente las cosas religiosas.
They were offering particular sacrifices to God.
Ofreciendo sacrificios particulares a Dios.
And he begins to say, I'm tired of what you have to give to me.
Y Dios les dijo, yo no quiero lo que me estás dando.
Verse 13, he calls them vain offerings.
En versículo 13 los llamó vana ofrenda.
And this is because their hearts aren't in it.
Y una vez más era porque sus corazones no estaban en dentro de lo que hacían.
Verse 14 says, my soul hates your new moons and your appointed feasts and so on.
Verso 14 dice, mi alma aborrece vuestras lunas y lunas nuevas y vuestras fiestas solemnes.
You see, this is what religion does.
Esto es lo que hace el religión.
It's all motions. It's all seemingly acts of service.
Son buenas obras y emociones.
And yet it's like Jesus said.
Pero es como dijo Cristo.
Their mouths speak well of God.
Sus bocas declaran buenas cosas de Dios.
But their hearts are far from him.
Pero sus corazones están muy lejos de él.
God sees right through it.
Y Dios puede ver.
You see, it's easy to be religious in front of people, isn't it?
Es fácil ser religioso delante de gente.
People are easily believing the religiosity of people.
Porque la gente puede creer lo que ven en ver cosas religiosas.
But God doesn't look on the outward appearance.
Pero Dios no mira a lo que está afuera.
No, he looks on the heart.
Él mira a nuestro corazón.
And he sees right through all of this show.
Y él puede ver claramente que no era sincero.
Let's look at verses 21 through 23 and see how injustice prevails.
Vamos a leer versículos 21 a 23, la injusticia prevalece.
Look at verses 21 through 23. Does somebody want to read those verses? These verses begin to show the corruption that is in the leadership of the nation.
Esos versos nos enseñan la corrupción en el liderazgo de esta nación.
Often leaders are held to a higher standard, even in the church.
Muchas veces los líderes se están más deben de tener más entendimiento a las cosas de Dios.
Isn't that true?
Es verdad, ¿no?
Think about it when we vote for our elections.
Piénsalo en votar en nuestras elecciones.
We've put those people into office with expectations, don't we?
Ponemos a esa gente en su oficina y esperamos de ellos.
And we expect them to be leaders. We expect them to be examples.
Esperamos que sean ejemplos.
Even ministers of the gospel are expected to be examples.
Aún ministros del evangelio se espera de ellos que sean ejemplos.
And so here, God seems to have a harsh message to Judah's leadership.
Y aquí Dios tenía palabra dura al liderazgo de Judá.
Because they're allowing injustice to prevail.
Porque ellos dejaban a la injusticia seguir.
They're looking out for their own interests.
Ellos se enfocaban a ellos mismos.
And they're refusing to take care of the needy among them.
Y no atendieron a los que tenían necesidad.
And we need to understand that this is still the case even today.
Nosotros tenemos que entender que esto es el caso aún hoy.
Isaiah begins to speak concerning the fact that this city was at one time faithful.
Isaías empezó a hablar a esta ciudad recordándolos que en un tiempo ellos eran fiel.
And yet now he says it's become a prostitute.
Pero ahora están comparados a un prostituta.
Says that she was once full of justice.
Ella en un tiempo estaba llena de justicia.
Righteousness lodged in her.
Y la justicia en ella.
Instead now there's murderers that are dwelling within.
Ahora se encuentra matadores en ella.
And what this is describing is the downfall of the nation.
Y esto nos enseña dónde había caído la nación.
In these verses,
en estos versos,
we've got to even consider our own nation.
Tenemos que considerar aún nuestra nación.
In many ways, this is what's happening to the United States of America today.
En muchas veces, en muchas maneras, esto es lo que está pasando en nuestra nación.
Sadly, once America was known as a faithful nation.
En un tiempo, América fue conocida como una nación fiel.
And yet, it's becoming a prostitute.
Y se está haciendo como prostituta.
Look at verse 22. It says, silver has become dross.
Tu plata se ha convertido en escorias.
And the wine is mixed with water.
Tu vino está mezclado con agua.
What it's describing here is that both, or this nation, is becoming worthless.
Y esto describe que esta nación no vale.
The silver is no good anymore.
La plata no tiene valor.
It says it's become dross.
Se ha convertido en escorias.
Dross is the waste from purified metals.
Escoria es el mineral que queda en metales en el proceso de purificación.
It says the wine is diluted.
Y el vino estaba
mixed
diluido,
with water.
Mezclado con agua.
That makes it worthless.
Y no tenía valor.
You see, they weren't providing true justice to the people.
No estaban proveyendo justicia a la gente.
They were only thinking about themselves.
Solo pensaban en ellos mismos.
There's a lot of this happening in our country today.
Esto está pasando en nuestra nación.
It's really happening in the United States of America today.
Y está pasando en los Estados Unidos hoy.
Sometimes people are in it just for themselves.
A veces la gente está haciéndolo solo por ellos mismos.
We need to be praying for our nation.
Tenemos que orar por nuestra nación.
We need to be praying for what's happening with the presidency.
Y por lo que está pasando con la presidencia.
The mainstream media has elected a president.
El media ha elegido un presidente.
But it's actually not official until December the 14th.
Pero no es oficial hasta el 14 de diciembre.
We need to be praying for our nation.
Tenemos que orar por nuestra nación.
Because we don't know what's right around the corner.
No sabemos lo que está en el día que va a venir.
And if there is corruption,
y si hay corrupción,
we need to pray for its exposure.
Tenemos que orar que se enseña claramente.
And if everything was done in the was done rightly,
y si todo se ha hecho bien,
then we need to pray that that is shown as well.
But tenemos que orar que eso se enseñe.
But there is wickedness in our land.
Hay maldad en nuestra tierra.
And our nation needs revival.
Nuestra nación necesita revivir.
The answer for our nation is the church getting back to an intimate place with God.
La respuesta es que la iglesia toque a Dios una vez más.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But injustice is prevailing the land of Judah.
La injusticia estaba siguiendo en la tierra de Judá.
And because of this, it's going to affect it. Judgment is around the corner.
Y el juicio iba a venir.
When a society abandons the welfare of its most vulnerable members,
cuando una sociedad abandona la necesidad de los miembros,
injustice will prevail.
La injusticia va a prevalecer.
When the rights of the poor and the powerless are disregarded,
cuando los derechos de los pobres no es importante,
wickedness will increase.
Aumentará más la maldad.
And it will lead to a decline in morality and the loss of hope in that nation.
Y conduce a una decadencia moral y pérdida de esperanza.
I'm going to ask a question.
Quiero preguntar algo.
What are some common forms of injustice in the world today? And what are some ways Christians can respond? Again, what are some common forms of injustice in the world today? And what are some ways Christians can respond?
¿Cuáles son algunas formas comunes de injusticia en el mundo actual y cómo pueden responder los cristianos?
Anybody have any ideas?
¿Quieren compartir unas ideas?
That is an injustice, isn't it? Brother Jaime says how the LGBTQ community wants everyone to accept what they believe, but they themselves will not adhere to nor allow belief in Christianity or what Christians believe. And in many ways, that can be an injustice. Sister Gina says that she believes there's injustices in every system, in the medical, in the educational, in the government. There is much injustice in these things. And that's why we need to pray for godly leaders and those that will live right before God in those places. Amen? What can Christians do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's definitely truth in that. We need to listen. We need to not castigate or... What's that?
Be assumptuous.
Or be assumptuous that they're believing particular things. That's true. We need to be able to interact, to work with them in the appropriate sense, but not in the sense of compromising the truth of Scripture either. Amen? Exactly. And it actually goes both ways. You know, like they themselves... Exactly, exactly. You know, even those in those communities, they're never going to fully understand the way of a Christian or of the Bible until they read the Bible and are born again. You know, so, I mean, there's going to be, just automatically, there's going to be a lack of understanding of each other because of the fact that born-again believers are going to have a particular worldview that is directing their manners of thoughts and ways and thinking and doings. The same way, those in that particular community, whether it be LGBTQ or any other worldly or secular thing, their worldview is different. So they're viewing things through that lens. And so until there's a place where we are on the same plane, there won't be a true understanding, you know. So there's always going to be that clash. There's always going to be those differences of ideas. Well, yes, we are all human beings. We are all one in that sense. But the difference between the Christian worldview and, you know, just a commonality among everyone is the child of God bases their life according to the truth of Scripture. That is what steers us. That is what guides us. And so in many ways, those on the outside would say that Christians are too narrow-minded. They're not going to allow anything, you know, whereas on the other side, they're going to say they're too much. That's why we got to get rid of the church, you know, because they're always, you know, too narrow. But it is a narrow way. And being a child of God, we don't adhere to worldly mindedness, nor do we succumb to the ways and the mentality of the world. Our submission is to the Word of God and to what the Bible speaks as to what morals are, what is right and wrong. There are moral absolutes, and we believe those moral absolutes are found in the Scriptures. That's why we can seemingly appear to be very stubborn, maybe, in what we believe. But that's because we believe that there is morally right, there's moral wrong, that there is the truth of Scripture. And that's why, you know, we don't just fall into what is popular during the day, even in regards to social justice or these things that seem to ebb and flow depending the current climate of a particular year or president or what have you. The Christian doesn't move with that ebb and flow. We always need to base ourselves upon the truths of Scripture and that alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, again, that's a difference in regards to what we believe as true Christians. We believe sola scriptura, that means the Bible alone. A Catholic can be a Christian, yes. Are all Catholics Christians? No. Is everyone inside what would be called a Christian church a Christian? No. A Christian is not just a human being inside a church. A true born-again believer, a Christian that is true according to the Word of God, is someone that has repented of all their sin, has received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, have repented from their sinfulness, and have turned to follow Him. Their foundational knowledge of who God is comes from the Scripture, not from what a man or a woman says, but from what the Word of God says. And from that, relationship with God is developed. You see, we have to be in a relationship with God. It's not a religious place we attend or a religious thing that we do. It's a relationship with Almighty God according to the Scripture. And so we base our beliefs according to the Word of God. That's why Jesus told the gentleman that approached him at night in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. You see, and that is the evidence of a true Christian. A person must be born again. Again, it's not just a church attending thing. It's not a religious thing. It's an actual change from changing from being a son of Satan, a son of the devil, and becoming a child of the living God, being adopted into his family, into the family of God by faith. That is a true Christian. Yeah, that's good. And again, I'm not expecting you to believe just what I say. Believe the scripture. Go to the Bible. Well, I understand what you're saying, but what we believe, well, I would just encourage you to keep on reading the Bible and be open to God and praying to God and saying, God, lead me to the truth. God, lead me to the truth. And if you are sincere with that prayer, God will lead you to truth. And the truth is not a concept. The truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so I encourage you, keep reading the Bible and keep wrestling with those things. It's a good place to wrestle with these things. But, you know, keep reading the Bible, you know, and keep praying. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now let's get to part two of our Sunday school lesson this morning.
Parte dos.
Which is a call to repentance and cleansing.
Llamado al arrepentimiento y la limpieza espiritual.
Now remember, Isaiah is speaking to a rebellious nation.
Recuerde, Isaías estaba hablando a una nación rebelde.
This is a nation that's in rebellion because they knew God.
Y esta nación estaba en rebelión porque conocían a Dios.
They have had an experience with God like no other nation.
Ellos habían sentido a Dios como ningún otro nación.
And so here's a call to repentance.
Y aquí hallamos el llamado al arrepentimiento.
And it says this in verses 16 through 17.
Isaías 1, 16 y 17.
He says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil from your deeds, from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Here is a call to repentance.
Aquí leemos el llamado al arrepentimiento.
And we need to always understand that the God that we serve is a holy God.
Tenemos que entender que el Dios que servimos es santo.
And because he's holy, he will judge wickedness.
Y porque él es santo, él juzgará maldad.
And the solution to rebellion, unfaithfulness, disobedience, even injustice.
La solución a la rebelión, infidelidad, desobediencia y injusticia.
It begins with repentance.
Comienza con el arrepentimiento.
Repenting is turning around.
El arrepentimiento es devolver.
It's that 180 degree turn the opposite way.
De cambiar de la, el camino que estamos.
And while everyone is guilty of sin.
Y aunque todos están culpables de pecado,
God offers cleansing and reconciliation.
Dios ofrece limpieza y perdón.
But he does not force such cleansing on his people.
Pero él no impone tal limpieza a su pueblo.
No, he doesn't ever force it.
Él no se impone.
True repentance is marked by a change in behavior.
El arrepentimiento verdadero está marcado por un cambio.
And this is essential.
Y esto es esencial.
We must always understand that.
Tenemos que entender esto.
That God won't force cleansing of sin.
Que Dios no se impone a nosotros a que nos limpianos.
But he is a gentleman.
Pero él, con paciencia,
he waits for the person to turn to him with all of their hearts.
Él espera que esa persona abre su corazón completa a él.
And if they will repent,
y si esa persona se arrepienta,
he will give to them
Él los dará
cleansing and restoration.
Limpieza y restauración.
And so Isaiah is calling the nation to repent.
Isaías estaba llamando a la nación al arrepentimiento.
And he says to do it by washing themselves, making themselves clean.
Y los dijo, haz esto en lavarte y limpiarte.
And it happens by putting away evil from their deeds and from their eyes.
Y esto pasa en dejar lo malo delante de lo que tus ojos ven y tu decisiones.
Even as he says there in the latter part of verse 16, he says, cease to do evil.
Dice en versículo 16, en el último parte, dejar de hacer lo malo.
And he says, learn to do good.
Aprender a hacer el bien.
Seek justice.
Buscar el derecho.
Relieve the oppressed.
Socorrer el agraviado.
And so on and so forth.
Y continúa con mucho más.
You see, there is a turning that needs to take place.
Hay un cambio que va a tomar lugar.
And if that will happen,
y si eso pasa,
he will provide cleansing for that individual.
Él proveerá limpieza para esa persona.
This wasn't only for those in Isaiah's day.
Y esto no era solamente para la gente en ese día.
It's even for our day.
Es para nosotros en este día.
Praise the Lord.
Alabado sea Dios.
Now, secondly, there's a promise of cleansing.
Hay una promesa de limpieza.
Somebody want to read verses 18 through 20 of Isaiah chapter 1.
Isaías 1, 18 a 20.
These are some beautiful scripture.
Estos son escrituras muy bellas.
Because in it, it promises cleansing to the sinner.
Porque promete limpieza al pecador.
Now, this promise is to the people if they repent.
Y esta promesa está a la gente si ellos se arrepientan.
But he tells them, come now and let us reason together.
Y les dice, ven hoy. Y, what verse is that, James?
Verse 18.
Y estemos a cuenta.
God is saying, come to me.
Dios está diciendo, ven a mí.
Let's talk about it.
Queremos hablar.
Let's
de esto.
Reason together.
Queremos estar en cuenta de esto.
The New International Version says, let's settle the matter.
En otra versión de la Biblia dice, vamos a tratar de estar en cuenta de lo que te preocupa.
And he's saying, in essence, if you come to me in repentance.
Y él dice, si tú vienes a mí en el arrepentimiento.
And we reason this thing together.
Y estemos a cuenta.
He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow.
Aunque vuestros pecados sean como la grana, como la nieve serán emblanquecidos.
And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Aunque sean rojos como el carmesí, vendrán a ser como blanca lana.
When it discusses scarlet and crimson here in these verses,
en decir grana y carmesí en estos versos,
it's referring to particular dyes that were used in dyeing particular materials, even like wool.
Se refiere a ciertas tintas.
The scarlet dye was permanent.
El tinta grana o escarlata era permanente.
In other words, they wouldn't be able to wash it out.
No podía lavarse y quitarse.
The crimson dye was used to dye wool.
El tinta carmesí se usaba para la lana.
But the redness of the color.
Y el rojo en el color.
Symbolizes the blood of the lamb.
Simboliza la sangre del cordero.
It's through the blood of the lamb and through that alone can a person's sin be cleansed.
Es por medio de la sangre que nuestros pecados pueden ser limpiados.
But he's saying if they come in as red as that, full of sin.
Y dice, aunque estos pecados sean rojos como carmesí.
He would cleanse them so thoroughly.
Él podía limpiarlos.
That they would be as white as snow or as white as freshly cleaned wool.
Y iban a ser blanco como la nieve o blanco como limpia lana.
But look at verse 19.
Miren en versículo 19.
He leaves the decision to you and me.
Él deja la decisión a usted y a mí.
He says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land.
Si quieres y escucháis, comeréis de lo mejor de la tierra.
But then he says, but if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword.
Si no queréis y sois rebeldes, seréis consumidos a espada.
You see, there, the promise of cleansing, the promise of forgiveness of sin,
la promesa de limpieza y el perdón del pecado
is available for every human being through Jesus Christ.
Está proveído a cada ser humano por medio de Jesucristo.
But it's only effectual.
Pero solamente es efectivo.
Upon that person's decision to receive it.
Dependiente a la persona que lo recibe.
That they will turn and receive it, and after turning and repenting and receive it by faith.
Se arrepientan y lo reciben por fe.
And thank God, judgment and restoration are promised.
Y gracias a Dios por la promesa de juicio y restauración.
The message of Isaiah isn't only strong in regards to calling them to repentance.
El mensaje de Isaías no solamente era fuerte llamándoles al arrepentimiento,
but he also gives the promises of restoration.
Porque también dio la promesa de restauración.
The penitent are restored, the rebellious are judged.
Los penitentes son restaurados, los rebeldes son juzgados.
I'm going to read this section, if you don't mind, verses 24 through 31.
Vamos a leer Isaías 1, 24 a 31.
It says, therefore the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel says, ah, I will get relief from my adversaries and avenge myself on my enemies. And I will turn my hand against you, thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your impurities. I will restore your judges as at first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward you shall be called the city of righteousness, a faithful town. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her contents or her converts with righteousness. But the destruction of the transgressors and sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired. You shall be humiliated for the gardens that you have chosen. For you shall be an oak whose leaf fades, and a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tinder, and his work like a spark. They will both burn together, and no one will quench them. This is describing restoration for those that will repent.
Esto describe restauración por los que se arrepientan.
But it's also describing judgment against those that are rebellious.
Y también describe el juicio en los rebeldes.
So God calls people to repentance.
Dios llama a la gente al arrepentimiento.
But if they don't repent,
y si no se arrepientan,
he will bring judgment.
Dios va a traer el juicio.
And this is because of God's love for them.
Y la razón es por el amor de Dios por ellos.
God allows judgment to come.
Dios permite al juicio.
So that they will see the error of their ways.
Para ver los errores de su mismo camino.
So that they will see the error and repent.
Para ver esos errores y arrepentirse.
They don't have to come to the place of judgment.
No tienen que venir al lugar del juicio.
No, if they will listen to God's call and repent.
Si ellos escuchan el llamado de Dios y se arrepientan,
he will provide restoration for them.
Dios proveerá el restauración.
But if they won't listen,
pero si no escuchan,
judgment will come.
El juicio va a venir.
Those in Judah, like I said earlier,
los en Judá, como dije antes,
they were rebellious and idolatrous at the time.
Ellos eran muy rebeldes y tenían idolatría en ese tiempo.
But God in his mercy sent the prophets to warn them of what was coming if they didn't repent.
Pero Dios en su misericordia mandó a los profetas para traer palabra.
At times they did repent.
A veces ellos se arrepentían.
And there would be revival in the land.
Y la tierra se restauraba.
Sadly, it wasn't, it was only short-lived.
Pero no duraba mucho tiempo.
And eventually, they fell into such rebellion against God.
eventualmente cayeron en tanto rebelión en contra de Dios
that they were taken captive by the Babylonians.
Que fueron captivados por Babilonia.
Eventually, they did repent.
Eventualmente, ellos se arrepintieron.
And Israel as a nation
y Israel como nación
has never been idolatrous again.
Nunca ha sido idolatrioso otra vez.
Now let's finish this final part.
Vamos a terminar con esta parte.
Which is walk in the light.
Andar en la luz.
We'll just read the scripture since we're out of time.
Vamos a leer las escrituras.
But it says walk in the light. Look at chapter 2 verses 1 through 5.
Isaías 2, versículos 1 a 5.
Says the word of Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways and will make and will we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many peoples, and shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, nor shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. These verses are speaking concerning the future millennial kingdom.
Esos versos pertenecen al futuro, durante el milenio, el reino milenio.
There will come a time when there will be true worship of God.
Va a venir el tiempo cuando va a haber verdadero adoración de Dios.
And this is going to happen after the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth.
Y esto va a pasar después de la segunda venida de Cristo a la tierra.
And when Jesus comes, he's going to establish his kingdom here on the earth.
Y cuando él viene, va a establecer su reino aquí en la tierra.
And during that time, there won't be war anymore.
Y ya no va a haber guerra.
There will be perfect peace.
Va a haber perfecta paz.
And this is speaking concerning the future promises being fulfilled in Christ.
Y esto nos habla acerca de las promesas del futuro sean siendo cumplidos.
Praise the Lord.
Alabado sea Dios.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what we're learning in the book of Isaiah. We do ask that you would give us insight and understanding concerning your word, not only for what you were speaking to the nation of Judah in that day, but how those words are speaking to our hearts in our day. We pray that you'd give us a heart that is after you. We pray that, Lord, you would lead us, Lord God, to that true understanding of who you are. Speak to us. Draw us. We pray that we would walk in repentance before you. Bless the remainder of our service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.